on today's Run to the Top podcast.
As far as I can tell from the research, there's not a whole lot of difference between being 100% plant-based and being 80 or 90% plant-based. As long as the vast majority of your calories are coming from whole, nutritious plant foods, you're going to be doing okay.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's podcast, our guest is Claire Bartholik, 258 marathoner, master's athlete, and coach for Runners Connect. Claire started running simply to get in better shape for her high school reunion. I want to hear a little more about that story. The reunion came and went, and she just kept running. She finished her first marathon at age 38 in a respectable 4:02 and knew she had found her passion. She became a student of the marathon and successfully shaved more than an hour off of her marathon time, eventually becoming a coach herself with Runners Connect. Today, she shares the lessons and tools that she has learned with the athletes she coaches. Claire credits her success not only to great coaching, but to her whole foods plant-based diet. Eating simple yet nutritionally packed foods keeps Claire fueled for hard workouts and her busy family life. Let's learn more about how all these pieces come together for Claire's running directly from Claire. Welcome to Run to the Top, Claire.
Thanks, Stephanie. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Of course, now you're on the sort of the other side of the microphone because I know that you do host podcasts for Runners Connect. And today you're the interviewee instead of the one passing out the information. So let's start with our four basic questions. And they are, how old are you now? Where were you born? Where do you live now? And what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
Well, I am 42 years old. I am originally from outside of Chicago. I live in Asheville, North Carolina now. Oh. And my favorite race, well, I suppose that used to be the marathon. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a ton more marathons in my future. We'll see. So I would say probably the half marathon is what I'm focused more on.
That is the distance that almost everybody picks. Some people pick, you know, slightly different, like 10 miles, but that half marathon just seems to be able to fit into people's lives in many, many different ways at different times in their running, in their running experience. So you're in with a good group of people.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's go right into some of these talking points, some of the questions that I have for you. Talk about your entry into running. What started, it sounds like, as a sort of a peripheral kind of wanting to look good kind of thing, and went into something that obviously became much more. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, it's completely about vanity when I started out. My 20th high school reunion was coming up and I just wanted to show up looking good and feeling good. So I figured that I would start running to get in a little bit better shape. And I have to tell you that I hated running and just did it purely to lose a little weight. But after a while, I started getting hooked and then signed up for a half marathon. And after that, decided that I wanted to switch to marathons and not only run a marathon, but qualify for Boston, of course, because that's what everybody wants. So I didn't do that on my very first try, but I did every time after that.
Now, did you actually have a coach when you first started running, or did you just get out there and pound the pavement with, you know, hopes that it would make you a runner?
Well, no, I didn't have a coach, and I'd actually started, I ran a little bit in my 20s, just for one summer, I decided to start running to get in shape, and my big plan was I would just run as far as I could, and then turn around and walk home. And that was my big training plan. That was it. I would not recommend that. but I did a half marathon in my 20s. And then after I did that, I never ran again until my late 30s.
Wow.
So when I started again, I wanted to beat my time that I got in my 20s. So that was my only goal for the half marathon that I tried. And I did. I beat it by a few minutes. So I was happy about that. But then wanted to get into marathon running and really had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I did what I think most people do nowadays. I got online and started researching and reading and tried to follow this plan and that plan. And eventually found Runners Connect.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. Well, lots of people have found Runners Connect and have had great results. So you're in with a good group of people. Now, I know that you worked really hard to accomplish a marathon under 3 hours. And would you say that's your greatest running accomplishment to date?
Definitely. It's obviously something that I had as my goal for a long time. Yeah. I at first never even dreamed it was possible, but when I started getting closer and closer and, started progressing so fast, I realized that it's probably within my grasp. I got down to, in the 2:11, I'm sorry, the 3:11 range for mm-hmm. two different marathons mm-hmm. and, you know, when you're that close, it starts to seem like, hey, maybe I could do this. So conquering that goal, checking off that bucket list item has definitely been a huge accomplishment for me. I'd say maybe the downside of that is that now I need to find a new goal because that was my big, scary goal. And now that I've got that, I need to look for something else because training to shave one more minute off doesn't really excite me as much as breaking the 3-hour barrier. So I've got to find something else that's equally motivating.
Such an interesting comment, because accomplishing a goal where you try really hard and work realistically to get there and then you accomplish it, well, then, you know, what's next? I mean, it's maybe you would understand this, maybe the guys wouldn't understand it, but this whole thing of post, you know, having a baby and going through that whole experience and then having kind of after the baby comes and is healthy and all of that, it's like, oh, now what?
You know? Right. Right.
So it's not exactly the same as running a marathon, but it's where you've accomplished something that really means a lot to you and had a healthy child. So I am going to ask you about your training technique, because it seems like you were using a plant-based strategy during this marathon training. And that's something that I think our listeners are very interested in, understanding how someone can work hard enough to accomplish a really laudable goal like 2:58 for a marathon at what age were you? 40, something like that?
When I broke 3?
Yeah.
It was just in February, so it was 42.
Okay, congratulations on that. That's terrific. And so accomplishing that, how did that fit into doing a plant-based diet?
Well, I was plant-based before I was a runner, so mm-hmm. it's just second nature to me. So I have eaten this way long before I was a runner, so it certainly helped me, but I couldn't say, you know, what the difference is non-plant-based versus plant-based, because I've been plant-based my whole running career. So, yeah.
And what does plant-based mean specifically for you? I know we had an interview not too long ago with someone who considers himself a vegan, and there's some definitions there. So I'd love for you to clarify what plant-based means to you, and then we'll go into how you use that for your training.
So I use the word plant-based, whole foods plant-based, instead of the word vegan. Because I am technically not a vegan. A vegan is someone who uses absolutely no animal products in their life. So that means no leather, no honey, no inks made from beetles or anything that an animal contributed to, a vegan would not purchase or consume. Mm-hmm. I am plant-based because it's about the food. It's about what I do eat. It's not about what I don't eat. So you can be a junk food vegan and eat nothing but vegan ice cream, potato chips, and French fries. And that is not what I would consider a healthy diet. So the way that I eat is whole natural foods that come from plant sources. So that's not necessarily vegan. I'm wearing a leather belt right now, so I'm not 100% vegan, but sometimes the word vegan is used just as a shortcut because everyone knows what that means. And whole foods, plant-based is kind of a mouthful to say, but I definitely eat this way for my health and the nutrition, to have a very nutrient-packed diet versus just simply not eating animals for the sake of the animals. Although I find that to be a great side benefit, as well as the environmental reasons for eating more plants. I think that's all wonderful. And the longer I am plant-based, the more I appreciate those benefits as well. But I'm in it for the health benefits.
Yeah, well, that actually is as you said, it's a little difficult to explain it, but I think it's more pragmatic. There are times when not using honey, not wearing leather shoes, belts, can become kind of a judgmental thing that you might be a little more pragmatic about that than some folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just like any movement, there's a few people that give it a bad name and are very preachy about it. I don't consider myself that way. I mean, if the whole world went plant-based, I think we'd have a better place, but it's not my job to teach people or tell people what to eat. If they want to eat whatever they want to eat, I'm not going to tell them any differently. I don't feel like I need to bash people over the head with, you've got to eat this. I don't think that's very effective, first of all. And it's certainly not my approach at all. So if I can lead by example and do great things on a plant-based diet, and maybe somebody chooses to have a meatless meal because they are inspired by that, I think that's great. But it's certainly not my job to bash anybody by the way they eat, so, or what they choose to wear or anything like that.
But you did say that your training for the marathon as a plant-based running trainee worked just fine for you. So can you talk about what a training week nutritional meal would look like for you for over the whole week? Because you're also coordinating with your family, correct?
Sure. Yeah. I don't think I eat any differently in training than I do when I'm not training.
Oh, okay.
The only difference might be that if I am really, really focused and it's close to the goal race, I will be definitely watching my intake much more strictly to make sure I'm not overeating and that I'm fueling properly. For example, I wouldn't drink alcohol in the 30 days before a marathon. I just feel that's a luxury that I save for after the race.
Good.
But the only difference is that I would eat more food to fuel my training. So the way that I cook and the way that I eat at home is very, very simple. And it's not complicated, and it's not anything, for the most part, that omnivores wouldn't eat. So it's simple foods, and there's just a few cooking techniques that you can learn to make simple foods taste delicious. So I have become, I would say, a pretty good cook at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not even something that I even think about anymore as being weird or different. So I cook, I mean, my favorite thing to eat probably is like for lunch, I'll take whatever I had left over from dinner the night before and put that into a bowl and make it like a big salad with grains and lentils and vegetables and maybe avocado on top. So basically just a big bowl of yumminess for lunch, building on what I already made for dinner the night before so that it's not a whole lot of extra work.
Right. Now, what about your kids? I know this is a question people have as far as a family both eating together, but also kids getting enough protein, enough fat. Is it the same thing the whole family eats and maybe just obviously different calorically, or are there differences for your kids?
Yeah. Well, when the kids are at my house, they eat my food, just like in any mom's house, I'm sure. They are not strictly plant-based. And when other houses, they may make other choices.
Yeah.
So, you know, so 80 to 90% of the time they are plant-based and really don't think twice about it. But I want them, again, like I was saying before, I want them to learn by example and then make the choice that they want to make for themselves. So of course, I hope that they will choose to eat this way for the rest of their lives, but they might not make that choice. And that's okay too, because, you know, as far as I can tell from the research, there's not a whole lot of difference between being 100% plant-based and being 80 or 90% plant-based. Mm-hmm. As long as the vast majority of your calories are coming from whole, nutritious plant foods, you're going to be doing okay. So, I mean, my kids are vegetable eaters and they've grown up this way and they love snacking on fruit and, you know, they're really good eaters because they don't know any different.
Yeah. Now, what about milk and dairy product?
No milk, no dairy products. So that's another part of being plant-based. Mm-hmm. You know, the humans are the only species that drinks milk past adolescence. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessary for human health. And there's plenty of ways to get the calcium and the vitamins that you need from other sources. Mm-hmm. So I do use almond milk. And while that is fortified with a lot of vitamins, it certainly doesn't have the protein of milk, but that's not the only protein source. I mean, you would have to drink a lot of milk to get all the protein you need in a day. So, yeah, no dairy either.
And supplementation, do you take supplements?
Yes. All vegans and or plant-based people should take B12. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is found in meat, but it's not created by an animal. It's actually a bacteria in the soil that cows and pigs and other animals, when they consume the grass that they eat, they absorb the B12, and that's what's found left over in the meat that you eat.
Okay.
So vegetarians and vegans do need to supplement with B12. And to be honest, I would bet most omnivores are low in B12 as well.
And how do you supplement? What type of a supplement, even to the brand, if you have that information, you know?
I actually don't know the brand that I supplement with. I would have to check on that. But okay. I've done several. But you know, there's B12 that you can take in a lower dose every single day, and then there's B12 that you can take in a higher dose, maybe once a week. And I'm experimenting with the higher dose just so I don't have to remember every single day. And so far that's working out fine. Uh-huh. But the key with B12 is you want to do a sublingual tablet. So something that goes under your tongue and dissolves in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's been shown to absorb better that way.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to taper week nutrition, I would like to hear uh-huh. what has worked for you. Because I know that for a lot of people, they really cut back on fiber, for example. And mm-hmm. so how does taper week nutrition, and then this is going to lead into race day nutrition. Can you talk about both of those?
Sure. Sure. I think the most important thing in taper is to not rock the boat too much. So if you change your diet drastically, during taper week, your body is going to notice and it's going to say, hey, what's going on? You're doing something different. I don't feel good. So you got to kind of sneak up on that. If you're going to make any changes, they should be a more gradual change and not just throw it all at your body on the last week.
Okay.
So what I do is, I mean, I already eat a higher carb diet than I would say most omnivores typically eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm not increasing my carbs a ton. But what I do is I end up decreasing fat. And it's not that fat is bad. Fat is good. It's essential, of course. But it contains more calories per gram than carbohydrates do. Mm-hmm. So increasing your carbohydrates without increasing your overall calorie intake, you've got to cut somewhere. And the easiest place to do that is fat. So okay. instead of having a you know, piece of toast in the morning with peanut butter on it, maybe you just have a piece of toast with the jelly on it instead.
Uh-huh.
So that would be a time that simple sugars are okay to have because you are kind of getting ready. But I don't really cut fiber a lot.
Oh, really?
No, because I eat a high fiber diet. So my body is completely used to high fiber. I don't have any problem with, I eat salads and beans and nuts and whole grains and vegetables every single day. So to drastically change my diet and eliminate fiber, I don't see the point of that. I don't have any fiber issues on race day. So I think it's more important to stay familiar.
Good
so
point.
Just by eating the same foods you normally do, but just tipping them in the higher carbohydrate range is what I like to do.
Okay. Race day nutrition. Start with the morning of, but before the race starts and then during the race. And let's talk about, because so many of us have done half marathons, let's talk about half marathon race day nutrition. What would you do?
Okay. Well, first thing, I would start actually the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So the night before, if I'm traveling for a race, you never know what you're going to get in a strange hotel or a strange city. So what I do is I do the same thing every race and for a marathon, but also for a half marathon is I eat baked potatoes with ketchup. Mm-hmm. And that's my dinner. So I'll have three baked potatoes with ketchup.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm traveling to a race, I'll put the raw potatoes in my bag and TSA probably looks at me a little funny, but that's okay. And then if I'm in a hotel, I'll just microwave them and put ketchup on them. And that is my carbo loading.
Wow.
For the night before.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well. It's easy on the stomach. It tastes good and it's not too heavy the next day.
Yeah.
For the next day, race day, I typically have toast and peanut butter is my go-to breakfast and with a little banana.
Mm-hmm.
And what I fuel the marathon with and the half, half marathon nutrition is slightly different because you don't need to, fueling is not quite as critical.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I use a starch solution as my carbohydrate. So it's very similar to UCAN. It was inspired by UCAN.
Okay.
But I've come up with a recipe that is much, much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with cornstarch, but I've switched to tapioca starch because I feel like it dissolves a little bit better and it's slightly less chalky. And I basically make that into a salty lemonade drink.
Yum.
And so it has electrolytes and a little bit of flavor, mm-hmm. and it goes down pretty easily. And so I'll have that about an hour before the race.
Okay.
And that is also my fuel during the marathon. With the half marathon, fueling is not quite as important because I'm not going over 90 minutes in the half. So I will still take some nutrition, but it's typically the drink beforehand is enough. So I would probably take just a few swigs of Gatorade every other station along with the water.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't necessarily need to take a lot, but I think that taking in a little during the half marathon is important because if you start getting close to where your body is like, hey, I might be running out of glycogen, you kind of got to trick the brain to think that carbohydrates are coming. So even just putting the carbohydrate drink in your mouth kind of lets the brain say, oh, okay, sugar's coming. I don't need to panic and slow this person down. We can keep going for a while.
Yeah, I've heard that. The thing of even being able to spit it out after you put it in your mouth, if your stomach's a little upset, that will still trick your brain into thinking it's getting some extra sugar.
Yeah, that's what the research says. I don't know if it's placebo effect or not, but I certainly believe it and I do it every time.
All right, that's good. Now, you talked about homemade gel recipes on your website, and we'll give you a chance to talk about your website at the end here so people can know how to find out more than just homemade gels. But talk about those a little bit and some of your favorite plant-based recipes.
Well, I've made several gels on my site. I actually prefer the starch drink better than the gel, so I don't really fuel with them. But mm-hmm. if the sugar, it's basically glucose and fructose. So okay. The cheapest way to get that in the grocery store is corn syrup and agave. Mm-hmm. So the mixture of the two in the proper ratios is the best way to get the most carbohydrate to be absorbed by your body. If you go with just one source, mm-hmm. the body can't absorb it as much as with two sources. So it's typically a mix of those. And then I've got all sorts of different flavors, and adding electrolytes is pretty easy. That's basically the most important electrolyte, of course, is salt, sodium. And then potassium you can get by buying one of those no salt products. Typically those are low sodium, but they use potassium, magnesium, and calcium to create like a light salt. So using a little bit of that in the gels will get you all the electrolytes you need as well. So they work well for those who can tolerate gels. And I just have found that any kind of gel, whether it's homemade or commercial, tends to be a bit much for my stomach. And once I found the starch solution, I never looked back. But yes, but I have tons of recipes for all different kinds of plant-based gels that basically mimic some of the popular brands out there.
Right. Okay. And that's on your website, and we'll get that address at the end of the interview. Now, I was going to ask you about caffeine too, because for some of us, and I'm one of them, I love caffeine in my race day strategy. What do you think about caffeine? Do you use it? And if so, how or how not?
Yes. Well, I have a love-hate relationship with caffeine. So I got my first and only DNF because of caffeine.
Oh, really?
So I'm a coffee drinker, and I drink plenty of coffee, maybe too much coffee, I don't know. But on race day, I only like to have one cup of coffee because I want enough to get, you know, the energy, but I don't want too much that I feel like I have to go to the bathroom during a race. Mm. So I started experimenting a couple years back with doing some caffeine supplementation and trying to see what I could find out there in the research. And of course, practiced on some long runs to see what I could handle and what I couldn't.
Right.
And so during the buildup to a marathon, I practiced taking a caffeine pill, you know, those just like the no-dose pills that you find in the mm-hmm. in the gas station. So I tried it on a 20-mile long run. Everything seemed to be fine. But it was an easy long run. It wasn't too challenging. And yeah. I thought everything was great. And so race day comes along, and I had gotten a little bit off my game before the race start. I happened to have my family with me and just got a little bit distracted and missed eating my normal breakfast the way I would. So my stomach was a little bit not quite as full as it usually is on the starting line. And I had taken the caffeine pill. So mm-hmm. at mile 4, I started feeling sick to my stomach, and I was like, oh no, mile 4 is pretty early to be sick to my stomach. So I started, you know, I kept running, I kept going through it, and I'm progressively getting worse and worse. And I really had no idea what was going on, but because this has never happened to me before, started getting feeling dizzy, started getting heart palpitations.
Oh my gosh.
Started feeling really, really sick.
Yeah.
And so thankfully my family was there to meet me at mile 16. Mm-hmm. And I had had enough at that point. I really felt super, super sick. And I could have finished the race, but I would have probably been crawling to the finish line. So I decided to call it, and never really connected it was the caffeine. I just thought I was having a bad day. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And then so because I didn't finish that race, I immediately signed up for another one, of course. And about a month later, I was going through my routine, doing a long run, and the same thing happened. And I finally connected it that it was to the caffeine. So I had, you know, I know my limits now. Mm-hmm. And don't take the 200 milligram pill anymore. I have used some caffeine mints that you can buy, and they're only about 40 milligrams of caffeine. So I've tried one of those at about mile 16 or something to give me a little perk. But yeah, I personally have learned that I need to be really careful with caffeine.
Yeah, well, I think what you're saying about using it on practice runs, of course, you tried it and you thought it was going to work, but for people not to keep that same same regimen during their training as well as their races can lead to all kinds of problems, because on race day, clearly we're all a little bit more hyped up and expecting things. And so you certainly don't want to add to the problem by doing
it. Absolutely. You want to try things more than once, not just once. You want to try things multiple times to be sure that they work.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I'm changing the subject here because we've talked a lot about race strategy and nutrition. Injury prevention. Have you stayed injury free? If so, to what do you attribute this? And if not, can you talk about an injury and how it came about and what you did to overcome it?
I have been relatively injury free. Mm-hmm. I have been, knock on wood, really, really healthy. And I don't think that there's necessarily one thing that I can attribute it to. Certainly eating a nutritious diet makes a difference. I think if your body has all the building blocks to repair and rebuild, that you're going to be better off than if you ate junk food.
Yeah.
But truly, I think that the best, the most important thing is I jog a lot. I run really, really slow when I am not running fast. Mm-hmm. So my easy runs, which are about 80% of my week, I run 2 to 3 minutes slower than my marathon pace.
Good.
Which is a lot slower than most people run on their easy days. So I embrace the jog and I go really, really slow. And that allows me to recover and allows me to run a lot harder on the days that I need to be fast.
Purposeful, you know, purposeful running and really having a specific reason. If you're doing endurance runs, then doing them at a slower pace so that you, in fact, can go longer without getting injured makes so much sense. And then when you're doing those shorter tempo runs or speed work or whatever, then you're really focusing on that and taking care of warming up and stretching afterward and all the things that make it successful.
Absolutely.
Well, good for you for being injury free. I commend you and that's terrific.
And maybe it's just a little bit of luck too. I don't know.
well, I think we have to be grateful for the things that we, whatever it is, luck, planning, you know, whatever, that we can be grateful for those things. And then we deal with the problems when they arise.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, final question here before my final question is, how do you balance all of these pieces, running, training, working, and actively participating with your family? That's a lot of pieces to balance, and certainly many of us have that kind of challenge. So how does that work for Claire Bartholik?
Well, I like to say that I don't balance it. I like to live my life unbalanced. Mm-hmm. So that means when I'm training really hard for a certain goal, other things in my life have to take a lower priority level. But then when I'm recovering or not focusing on a goal, then family shifts back into the top priority role. So I don't think that anybody can do anything great by doing everything. I think there needs to be periods of time where priorities shift and change. And sometimes, you know, you've got to go on a long run and somebody's got to watch the kids. So I don't think that necessarily balances the goal. It's about letting your priorities kind of rise and fall with the season. So if you're one of these people that always, always, always races, you're going to be imbalanced in some way, which is fine temporarily, but at a certain point, something's got to give. So I think it's okay to be unbalanced, just not all the time, or just not always in the same direction. Sometimes you got to tilt in the other direction after a while.
The family part is interesting because, you know, kids especially, and spouses, of course, can buy into something where some of the time they're not the priority. But if that's all the time, then like you said, that's not going to be a good combination for life. It's not going to work in the long run.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we are coming to my final question here about running, and that is, how important is running in your life? How much of a priority?
Well, running is completely my life right now. Because I run and I coach. And at this point, since I'm taking a little bit of break from racing myself, I certainly talk about running a lot more than I actually run at this point. But yeah, I've found later in life something that absolutely thrills me, something that I love deeply. And I've found my tribe. So I've found a group of runners locally that I love and train with. And certainly through the Runners Connect community, I've found a huge group of people online and also through my blog. So running is almost everything, not quite everything. I've got a pretty cute family too, but running is a huge part of my life, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I know for me, running has changed its importance over the time, mostly what the focus of it is, because now it's way more important for me to be mobile and just to keep moving than it is for me to be winning races. But there's a place for all of those in one's life. Do you have anything you would like to add to the running component of this interview before we move into the final kick?
Well, I think it's important to find your why. You know, I have a lot of people who ask me, you know, how do you stay focused in the last 5K of the marathon, or how do I get out of bed when it's cold and I want to stay inside under the covers? And I think really finding your purpose of why you are doing this. For the most part, nobody's paying us to go out there and run a race. We do it for a reason. And to be grateful for the fact that we can run, but also to find something that really, really inspires you. And it's often we attach that to time and numbers and what the clock says. But if you live by the clock, you'll definitely be disappointed a lot of the time. There's more to running than just how fast you are or how many miles you have or any of the numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers are a way to track what we're doing, but what's more important is your why. Why do you get out there every day? What purpose does it serve? And how can you connect yourself to your running? I think if you can find that, you can run for a really long time and have it be the joy of your life.
Like that. Well, let's pause for a moment to hear from our sponsors before moving into the final kick. Support for Run to the Top comes from Flava Naturals, a recently launched brand of chocolate and cocoa powder with 5 to 9 times the cocoa flavanol antioxidants of a typical dark chocolate bar. These increased levels are shown to support exercise performance, brain function, and heart health. This is achieved by starting with some of the highest antioxidant cocoa beans in the world and preserving flavanols using all natural preparation. Flava Bar chocolate bars and Flava Mix cocoa powder are perfect for pre- or post-workout, increasing circulation and the amount of oxygen and nutrients delivered to fatigued muscles. And equally important, Flava Bars and Flava Mix taste amazing. The Flava Natural Coffee Bar has become a favorite pre-long run snack. The caffeine gets your mind awake and the flavanols help increase blood flow, which are both really needed before those early morning runs or when starting a long run after an exhausting day at work. We've put together an awesome 20% discount for you so you can try them yourself. Just go to flavanaturals.com and enter discount code RTTT for the 20% off your next order. That's F as in Fred, L as in love, A as in apple, V as in Victor, A as in apple, flavanaturals.com, and discount code RTTT. I also want to tell you about one of our favorite companies, Green Chef. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals and feel good about what you are eating. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore. What works so well for a busy life is that Green Chef does all the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep work. Trying to squeeze in time for runs, family, and eating healthier can be a real challenge. Green Chef delivers the exact ingredients I need, pre-measured and perfectly portioned so there's no waste. Plus, it's mostly prepped so I don't need to spend hours before I get to eat. Green Chef has expert chefs who design all the recipes with gourmet flavors that you typically only find in restaurants. And I get all the benefits of creating and eating a delicious and healthy meal. With Green Chef, it's easy to maintain a specialty diet and enjoy exciting new options. If you want to give Green Chef meals a try, we've got an awesome deal for you. Head to greenchef.us/RTTT for $50 off your first box. That's greenchef.us/RTTT for $50 off your first order. Welcome back. It's Stephanie K. Atwood and Claire Bartholik, and we are moving into the final kick. Claire, you know about the final kick, right?
I do. I'm trying to see if I can remember the questions, but yeah, go for it.
All right. Here we go. Question number one is a favorite local training run. Tell us enough about it that our runners could come to your neighborhood or to your town and be able to do a run there.
My favorite local training. Well, I would say what I probably do the most is we have a park in Asheville called Carrier Park, and you can do a loop of about 6 miles there, which is really nice. And it's all along the French Broad River, and it is paved for the most part and flat. And in Asheville's in the mountains of North Carolina, so there's not much flat. So if you want to get a nice flat run, there's only so many spots, and that's a good one.
Nice. And where would you park if you were going to do that run?
There's parking all along the way there. So super easy. So just Google Carrier Park and you'll find it.
And it's C-A-R-R-I-E-R?
Yes.
Carrier Park. Okay. And favorite or recommended running book?
Oh, running book. I mean, how many people say Born to Run? Is that just about everybody?
Yeah, that one comes up a lot. Such a great book.
Okay. So we'll skip that one. Honestly, the one that I read recently, which is a couple of years ago, that I really got a laugh out of was How Bad Do You Want It by Matt Fitzgerald. I found that really inspiring. I also liked Peak Performance too. That's another good one. So there's three good ones for
okay,
you.
Okay, sounds good. Any words of wisdom or humor that you would like to share with our listeners?
Words of wisdom. Let's go with humor instead. Okay. Funniest thing that I've seen recently is there is a man at our track on Tuesday mornings or Tuesday evenings. I run track with a group. And there is a man who looks like a good runner, and he is having a good time, and he is getting out there, and he races track in his underwear. And it's not the tidy whities, it's the boxer briefs, and he owns it. You know, he runs like that's what those are made for, and that's just, and it gives us girls definitely a kick every time we're going around the oval. We see this guy wearing his boxer briefs on the track. So that has definitely given me a good laugh lately.
Good one to share. We have more advice than we have humor, so I'm glad you chose humor today.
Right.
Now, is there someone or some subject about running that you would like to listen to in a future podcast?
Ooh, that's a good question. I really like really anything to do with running, but some of my favorites are listening to some of the elite runners. Like, you know, they just had the Fifth Avenue Mile recently, and I follow all those women, you know, online and on social media. So totally. I would love to hear what it's like to race a really fast mile down Fifth Avenue. That's okay. Something that is just completely foreign to me, and I would love to know what that's like. So I'm super interested in hearing stories like that.
That sounds like a good one. Yeah, it gives me ideas, you know, because I have to contact these people about the different subjects that we're trying to cover on Run to the Top. So getting other people's input is always very useful to me. Thanks for that suggestion. So Claire, we are really close to the end of the podcast here. So please give us contact information and how our audience can follow your progress.
Well, I blog at theplantedrunner.com, and you can find me there on Facebook as well and on Instagram, The Planted Runner.
And of course, they can also find you through runnersconnect.net and contact you that way as well. So three different ways of contacting you and wishing you a wonderful running life from here forward.
Thanks so much, Stephanie.
I also want to thank our audience for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. You can follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You will be notified then every week when a new episode is published. Claire Bartholik wishing you a fit and full life from here forward, and may running always be a part of your story. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah, it's been really great. I've learned a lot from you. And most importantly, thank you to you, our audience, for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Wherever you are in the world, may your runs bring you good health and happiness. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.